Good morning, everyone. Is this a good day for Brazilian? Not really. still too cold for me. Even living here for almost 15 years, still very cold for me. This week was my birthday this week. So 5.1. And 5.1, so it's renewed. Yeah, some people ask me, hey, how you feel? I feel old. And there is a saying in Brazil, they say, after 40s, you don't ask people like, how are you? You don't ask that. You ask, where is hurty today? So today is my back, so. Yeah, so this is how we feel after 40s. Just go downhill. No. I will live until 100 years, so this is how. So we are here today in Romans chapter 13. But before we start, let's recap a little bit. In chapter 1 through 11, Paul dealt with doctrine, and he talked about theology. Paul spoke about the sacrifice of Christ made for us on the cross as a proof of God's mercy. So from chapter 1 to chapter 11. From chapter 12, we see that he will deal with ethics. He will talk now about how this theology will affect our behavior, our lives, how at least this theology, he taught from chapter 1 to chapter 11, should change us. So we have lived in a different way. So Paul begins chapter 12 talking about the sacrifice we must offer to God as a proof of our gratitude to him. So it's the idea that, yeah, we want to serve God. It's not to gain salvation, but we want to please him because everything he did. So we want to please him. This is this idea. So we sacrifice ourselves, our lives to him. So in chapter 12, Paul focuses on his attention on four different relationships. Because this is this idea, we have to live in a different way. So he talked about verse 1 to 2, relationship with God. It's a different relationship. When we accept Christ, we have a new relationship with God. Verse 3 to verse 8, he talks about the relationship with ourselves. Verse 9 to 16, he talks about the relationship with others. In verse 17 to 21, the relationship with enemies, our enemies. So the point is, a transformed life has transformed relationship. This is the point. We have to change. We cannot be the same anymore. We cannot love God and hate our brothers and sisters. This is no make sense. We cannot have a correct vertical relationship if our horizontal relationship is broken. So this is what Paul is talking about. Now, in chapter 13, he will address three more relationships. So in this package, okay? The first relationship that we'll talk today, the relationship with the authority. The question is, yeah, now what? As a Christian, how we will deal, how will be our relationship with the authorities. So this is verse 1 to verse 7. And from verse 8 to verse 10, he will talk about the relationship with the law. And from verse 11 to 14, he will talk about the relationship with the day of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in the idea of how we as a Christian now, our relationship with the day that Jesus will come again. What is will go on in our lives, okay? So, but you need to recognize, Paul recognized that although we do not belong to this world anymore, we are pilgrims, yeah? Remember that in the Bible. We have a different nation now. Okay, the heaven is our nation now. Although that, we live here. So we need to know how to deal with our relationship, our nation living here in our country. Okay, so in Romans chapter 13, verse 1 to 7, he speaks how Christians can practice Christianity in a secular and a political world. So today we talk a little bit about our relationship with the authorities. So let's read Romans chapter 13, verse 1 to 7. I try to read slowly so everybody can understand. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except that which God has established. The authority that exists have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you'll be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid. For rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes. For the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If you revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. When I look at this seven verse this week, I could see five topics. And the first one that I see very clear is the call to obey the authorities. So verse chapter 13, verse 1, part A, says, let everyone be subject to the governing authority. It's interesting. He is not saying, let only the poor people obey the government. Okay? They don't say that let everyone to subject to the governing authority that I like, that I agree with. This is very clear. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities. It is clear that the attitude that God waits for me and for you is respect our authorities, our nation's authorities, okay? And it's clear here. The Apostle Paul makes it clear that no individual is exempt for this subjection. No person enjoys special privilege, okay? We need to honor them and respect them. The second topic he talks here, it's about the origin of the authority. Where's the authority comes from? And the part B says very clear, there is no authority except that which God has established. He's not saying here there is no Christian authority. There is no authority at all. Everybody, we need to believe that because it's on the Bible, it's on the Word of God, that all authority, if you agree or not, was established by God. For there is no authority except that which God has established. The authority that exists have been established by God. That's it. All authority comes from God. And when Paul mentions here governing authorities in Romans 13:1a, he has referred to the state and its officials. So we need, as a Christian, to respect them and see them as a people who are put in their place right now by God. Paul does not defend here any specific form of government. He is not from the right. He is not democratic. He is not Republican. But Paul does not defend here any specific form of the government, but he says that all government is a divine institution. It is God who raised and deposed the kings. It's God who put a president in power and take him out. It's God. It's all about God. The same God who put a person in a government is the same God who takes him out of the power according to his will. The third topic he continues here is the call not to rebel against the authorities. This is very interesting here. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. The expression here, rebels against, in verse 2, means to launch into battle against. It's something formal, planning, purposeful, and a systematic resistance against the government. Paul clear warned here that those who rebel against the authority in that way will be punished. Then Paul continues here, verse 3 and 4. He talks about the purpose of the authority. Why we have these authorities? For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right and you'll be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath, to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. All authority was instituted to promote good and maintain peace in society. This is why we have authority. God is not a mess God. God is an organized God. He wants to everything in a place. And the civil authority has been vested with authority in order to punish wrongdoers and praise those who do good. So, but this is one point. The authority must recognize that their authority comes from God. That they have the responsibility to protect you, protect me, protect their citizens. And if they do wrong, what will happen? In the right time, God will take them down. Because it's God who is in control. Whoever has authority today needs to recognize that he was constituted by God to rule in accordance with God's justice. And if they don't do this, God will take care. Because God, doesn't matter how you call him, is the God this whole world. He has the control of everything. And the fifth topic here, I call the Paul's conclusion, says, therefore, it's necessary to submit to the authorities not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. This is also why we pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, honor. Therefore, he starts here with therefore. He used before this word. What Paul wants. Paul invites us to look to everything he said before in this chapter. And look. Look for everything. After I find out that I must submit to the authorities. If I find out that all authority comes from God, after I found out that I must not rebel against the authorities, if I found out the purpose of the authority, what does God expect of me? This is the point here. First of all, he puts very clear here, God expects us to submit the authorities, not only because of the possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. Because it's not about the authorities. It's about God. It's because we believe in God. The term hypotalasistai. Oh, look at the long word. You can use for your, you know, when you have a son, you can give this name. Hypotalasistai. Wow. Does not imply, this word was the Greek word used here to submit. Okay? But this word here does not imply servility. Like you don't have anything to say, you just obey in a blind way. It's not what this word means. It's a subjection that seeks to avoid disorder and promote peace. Because everything is about God. We are a new nation as a Christian. We are a new family. But we, as a follower of Christ, we want to promote peace. We want to promote a place where the word of God can go freely. And you do everything in our that we can to promote peace in an orderly way. So it's a subjective that seeks to avoid disorder and promote peace. Our submission to authority is based on our love for Jesus Christ. This is the point. The resistance we can have is not to the principle of authority, but when this authority runs out its way. When it ceases to be a minister of God to do good and punish the evil. We obey for the sake of our conscience because we believe that was God who instituted the authority. This is why. It's our conscience. We know that. The Bible says that all authority was instituted by God. And because of our relationship with God, we will submit to this authority. Okay? But you must remember that it's all about God. The second thing that he expects us, God expects us to pay taxes. This is clear in the text. We need to do our part to maintain the peace and stability of the government that God has instituted, and one of these ways is pay taxes. But now, I know you have the same question that I have now. What to do as a Christian when the authorities are not doing what is right and just? How far can you go? The church has a duty to alert the authorities when they are not fulfilling the purpose for which they were instituted. It's our obligation to warn, to alert our government that they are not doing well. All authority also has its limits. Christians have a duty to alert the authorities when they stop to be a ministry of God to do good and punish evil. It's our responsibility. When government bends the laws or elaborates unjust laws of oppression, when the government creates means and instruments to take advantage of the weak, when the government bribed the courts when denies the right of the innocent. If this happened, we have a responsibility to open our mouth and say, this is not right. It needs to be warned in the same way John Baptist warned the King Herod. They need to be warned in the same way that the apostles warned the Jewish Sanhedrin. They need to be warned in the same way that John Wesley condemned the slave trade in England. The people of God cannot, in the name of blind obedience, remain silent in the face of oppression and corruption. We need. And we know by history that sometimes the church keeps silence. We saw that in the history. But this is not right. It's interesting what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22 verse 21. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. God is our first responsibility. In Acts 5:29, you remember the story. When the leaders talk to the apostles, say, you are forbidden to speak about Jesus. In Acts verse 5:29 says, we must obey God rather than men. So we as a Christian, we need to find this balance. We need to remember that our first responsibility is obey God. If any human authority tells us to do anything that contradicts what God tells us to do, we must say no. It's easy. So, just to give some summary to help you to understand. When you think about our relationship to authorities, we can go home today with three words to remember. So the question was how we as a Christian can have like a, how would be our relationship with the authorities? This is the question. What as a Christian we can do? What God expects us to do? So to be easy to remember, three words. First one is submission. God is asking you and me to submit to the authorities, to submit to the government. Okay, so this is one word, submission. So if you can forget everything that I say today, but just remember the three words, because these three words really are our three responsibilities that we have as a Christian. And this is what Paul is talking about. The first one, submission. We need to submit to our authorities. We need to respect them. We need to respect the government because we believe that God instituted the government. All authority was instituted by them. It's if you not agree, if they do wrong, God will change because God is God. This is the point. We don't need to do anything against. We don't need God's. Remember the test. Don't rebel against. You don't need to do nothing against the government. Okay, so submission. The second word I use, I don't know if, I think it's fine, it's the warning. So first, submission. Second, warning. If you see that the authority is doing something wrong that is not in a godly way, we have the responsibility to say, you know, we don't agree. This is not right. It's not what the Bible says. So we can open our mouth. We can to have our resistance is in the in our ability to say that we do not agree with that. But the third word, so submission, warning, and the third word is not here, but Paul said in First Timothy chapter 1, verse 1-2, and said, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that you may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. So, the third word is prayer. So, what Paul expects for us when you read this verse? Three words: submission, warning is our responsibility, and pray for our government. Okay, these are our three responsibilities: submit to them, warn or alert them, and pray for them. If you do these three things, we are doing our part. We are fulfilling our relationship with the authority as God prepares and shows us. Okay, let's pray. Dear Lord, we ask you to strength and the ability to discern when the government, when the authority is doing what is right. We ask you to help us to be submit to them. We ask you to help us to pray for them, to pray for your kingdom, that your kingdom will be established in this nation and in this world. We need your help, Lord, to build this new relationship with you, new relationship with others, new relationship with enemies, new relationship with the law, new relationship with the authorities. This transformed life, this new life, we need your help. And you thank you for the Holy Spirit. Then your Holy Spirit is work in our hearts for that. In Jesus' name, amen.